Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino, back again for another week of 90 Day Fiancé. Week number 5 of 90 Day Fiancé, before the 90 days. And here we are with a man who I would never make sleep on the couch. Here he is, Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. It's Puya Zanvakili. Puya, how are you?
As always, Rob, I'm doing great. I was going to make you some breakfast because I know how to mess around with some eggs. But I wasn't sure
I told you, you know about my feeling on eggs, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to absorb it now. I'm learning it now. I wasn't really quite aware of it before.
I'm egg whites only.
Ah, no yolk for this folk. Gotcha.
Anti-yolkite.
All right. Well, now I know. Mm-hmm. We'll put that in my notes. Only egg whites for you.
Egg whites only. Cholesterol too high. You know this. You knew this. How many times did I tell you the same thing?
I'm not a good, great listener. Okay. Rob.
All right. So. All right. Well, you can make it up for me later with your presence for me.
And I have some presents for you that we'll share them.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about another week of a 90 Day Fiancé. A lot of interesting stuff this week on a pretty fun season of a 90 Day Fiancé. Happy to have you back here with us. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website.com/90day feed for all things 90 Day Fiancé here on Rob is a Podcast, led by none other than Puya Zanvakili. And Puya, is it true you'll have more 90 Day The Single Life for everybody here today?
Absolutely. The 90 Day Single Life will keep going. I will go with it. There was a big bit of news in the 90 Day Single Life universe this past week, Rob.
Yes.
This is the most interaction I've had with listeners DMing me clips and articles. So for those of you who may, I'll share this here. So Stephanie of 90 Day The Single Life, we've discussed this before. She is the jarred fart salesperson. She's been making quite a bit of bank. Yeah. And then news came out that she has been hospitalized because of the diet she was maintaining to keep up with the demand for these jarred farts.
How much is a jarred fart? And do we need to set that up for anybody that doesn't know what that is?
I mean, it sounds pretty self-explanatory. We've discussed it
people
here.
So if you're listening paying to this, money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $500 was the first bit of supply she had, and then I think she bumped it up to $1,000 after that.
People have too much money. I think that this is the best example of that. And I mean, I feel like if I found out that somebody I knew was spending any money, was spending $1 to buy a fart in a jar, that's it. I'm done. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but here I am. All right. It's one thing, Rob, you're too hard on stew. Stew's awesome. If you like fart in a jar, I can't even with you. Okay. Unsubscribe.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing too, Rob, is if it was $50 a pop, I'd be like, okay, you know, someone's got a little, you know, they want to feel a little close to this parasocial relationship with this person on TV. That's fine. 500 is a lot of scratch.
That's and then too much.
1,000 is a lot of scratch.
It's too much. You don't need anybody's fart in a jar.
I mean, you're not going to open it, right? Because then it's gone.
Oh, so I think people open it.
But then it's gone.
Okay. All right. This is what we want to know. All right. All right. So, all right. I forget what I just said. All right. If you buy farts in a jar, do you open the jar?
Right.
I think they do. I think people do it. They can't help it. Or like, I bet they like, they like get the jar. And I do have a jar. I'm drinking water out of the jar.
Rob's got a mason jar right there.
This was not used in any sort of like nefarious activity. But I bet, Puya, the person, like, they get it. They like, you take the top off real quick and then put the top back on.
To preserve some of it, like take a half
yeah,
in, half
it's
out.
Like, and then they keep the rest, put it on the shelf.
So it's raised a lot of questions for me because obviously,
because you don't want, you want to make sure you didn't get scammed.
I mean, of course, but then how are you going to know, like, you know, not all, all farts are smelly. So, but then you talk about this article that came up. So she had been eating a steady supply of like beans and protein smoothies to make this happen. And that's what caused her to get sick and get hospitalized. She quit the fart jar game. She said, no more. I'm out. I'm retiring on top. She made 200K over it. But then now, Rob, we found out that she is going to be selling her fart jars as NFTs.
NFARTs.
Exactly. Exactly. And I can't with this, Rob. I can't. And the fact that she's making money off of this.
And if you're buying a fart in a jar NFT, you deserve to lose your money. Okay.
Yeah. Just honestly, just screenshot it. Just screenshot it. And then you'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, the Rob, the blockchain is going to like, you'll see, you'll see, you'll be sorry. I won't. I won't. Yeah. Well, if everybody, everybody else is going to have the like retired at 29 years old because they bought fart in a jar NFT, I'll say, you know what? I you got me.
Yeah. I'm okay.
I'm
not
out.
Making any money. I'm okay with the amount of money I'm not making with that. I'm okay. My life's fine. You prove me wrong, but that's good for you. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm going to stay unchanged. So yeah, that was a big piece of news that we got, Rob.
What are you even getting for a fart in a jar NFT? Is it a picture of the jar?
I mean, that's what it sounds like. All right. Maybe it's digitally enhanced. Like they do a little bit of, you know, they add a little bit of shading to it, some gradient work. Stop, I don't know.
Stop it. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with this. Stephanie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done with this, but also to say, stay behind after this podcast to listen to the single life version where I talk about stuff going on in, with Stephanie within that timeline.
Yeah, let's talk about Memphis and Hamza. Let's let's open things up because Memphis, she got to where are they?
So they had a quick encounter in the night. So last we saw
them. No, I meant like literally, like what, I want to, Tunisia?
Yes. Okay. Geographically.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So Memphis finally got there and the mom said, all right, you get the bedroom, Hamza, you sleep on the couch. But guess what? Hamza snuck in the middle of the night and got his ass busted by mom and Puya. Now, like not for anything, from what it sounds like. I mean, this man could have been on like some like stealth mission here. Like he could have been in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. He was Usain Bolt in it and
he fumbled the bag.
He did. He stuck around afterwards and that made everything blatantly obvious what was going on. There's no recovering from that. And we saw that last, at the ending of the last episode where mom opens the door to Memphis's shocked face and Hamza's in bed. So they got caught and there's no recovery from that.
Okay. Does mom know? Memphis wants to know. Mom certainly seems a little peeved. Memphis says, okay, here's the plan. You go in there. Tell mom we just were cuddling. That's it. That's the story.
Just a little cuddle, a little hugging action, nothing beyond that. And I think the sad state of affairs here for Memphis is going to be that it doesn't matter what they did. Because ultimately the rule was you do not share a bed. And what were they doing? Sharing a bed. So that's already bad. But then Hamza, despite the language barrier, picks up what she's putting down and attempts to get this over to mom, get this message across and hope for the best that, you know, mom's not very upset about this.
Yeah. Mom is saying, you mean nothing happened. He says, nothing happened, mom. She's like, you're telling me a man and a woman laid down in a bed and nothing happened?
I mean, it happens at my house all the time, you know?
Right. But Rob, let's think of it this way. They have not been together ever. This was their first night together.
Oh, they didn't, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
To me, the math does not matter. If you're sharing the bed, like at least there's some kissing. There's definitely cuddling. Like you know, you've been waiting for this for so long. So mom's got the right read on the situation. And there's no amount of stonewall facing Hamza can do to like convince her otherwise, in my opinion.
Mom is not happy. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Memphis and Hamza, that, you know, they're going to go, let's get out. Let's go see the sights in Tunisia, and they're going to go around and check out the market. How about that? Yeah,
so they go through the town, they go to the Medina, the market, they see, you know, some cultural pieces, they're kind of exploring, and then we get to the hard conversation. Oh. Not hard for 30 seconds, but hard generally.
All right. Before we talk about the conversation, can we talk about Memphis and Hamza are going to get some refreshments. And Hamza is going to put in the order. Memphis wants a cappuccino. Listen to this. Hamza goes, cappuccino and a green tea, Puya.
Right. And was this a surprise to you? Did you not picture him as a green tea guy?
No, I did not picture. I don't think I've ever sat with anybody who orders two different caffeinated drinks.
Oh, you're saying these were both for him?
I think he ordered a cappuccino, and then he asked for him, he had a cappuccino and a green tea.
Listen, maybe he's trying the cappuccino, and then if he doesn't like it, he can fall back.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, he can fall back on what he likes, which is the green tea.
Wait, Memphis won't give him a sip? What if he really likes it?
Right, then he might want the whole cappuccino. Maybe he's just, you know, he wants hydration. He wants beverages. So he got two instead of water, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. All right. But now, time to have the talk. And why don't we let Memphis herself bring up the conversation for Hamza.
Let's.
The sexy time last night was pretty fast.
I am happy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Is it always fast?
No, I am sexy, baby. I am sexy.
Like,
yeah, that was an interesting answer to is it always fast? That Hamza says, I am sexy, baby.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this. The language barrier between these two is very difficult to follow because of Hamza's limited vocabulary, and then Memphis kind of teeter tottering between giving him like primary school talk to try and, like, you know, help him out, but then also changing it up to more sophisticated vocabulary.
Yes. So sexy time, though, is a staple.
Sexy time is a staple. We know what that means. But what do you think I am sexy means? I think it means he's trying to tell her, I liked it. I was very satisfied with it. So I was sexy with it. I think he reads it as she feels insecure and he's trying to reassure her.
Yeah.
I loved it. And she's like, oh, I know you loved it, sir.
I
might not have loved it.
Maybe Hamza thinks the conversation, was it good for you?
Right.
Maybe that was the conversation.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No, this is not what Memphis is getting at. We do get the backstory that Memphis, I guess, was in a different relationship where she was kind of just friends with. Sounds a little bit like a Mike and Jimena situation to me. but there was not sexual chemistry for Memphis. She needs to be in a relationship where the sexual chemistry and I guess everything needs to be on point. And that has not been the case with Hamza. She will continue to explain. Okay. She's going to make her point to this man.
So you ejaculate fast because you haven't had sex in a long time.
The look on Hamza's face is like, I'm not picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, I don't think he fully realizes what she's saying. I first want to say I 100% think that having good sexual chemistry is important for a relationship, especially if you're lacking in the language department and your communication's lower. Like, you know, love is a universal language. So having that be strong helps enhance the relationship. Now, what I will, you know, kind of have some qualms with Memphis is that Hamza clearly comes from a more conservative background, lives with his family. I don't think Hamza has really done a lot in this department before. I know he tells us four people. I don't think so. I'm willing to say it's not four people.
Oh.
So to me, I think Hamza is just inexperienced. And I think that Memphis is failing to realize that that is a legitimate possibility. And like, I'm assuming, you know, stamina can be built up with time.
But yeah.
Also the first night. Give him a break.
Okay.
He was sneaking. He was being stealthy. Like, he had a lot of stuff going on in his mind. I'm defending Hamza's lack of longevity here.
Yeah, interesting. So that, you know, I feel like that for Memphis, I guess we'll get to this with Mike and Jimena, where that Memphis, she has the physical attraction to Hamza, but that maybe she should be looking at Hamza as sort of like, you know, he looks the part. But if this was an NFL offense, like, does he fit in the system yet? And maybe that's a poor choice of words. Does he know the playbook? Because he seems to not. He's coming in. He doesn't know where to go. Or he's like, you know, just, okay. False starts all over the place maybe is the better metaphor. But he is like a lump of clay. She should be looking at him as that. Okay, there is potential here.
I don't think she's realized that she might need to mold him more. Exactly, because I think that, like you said, he looks the part, right? He's this like handsome, tall young man, amazing facial hair, like he's repping it. So he looks like he's confident, like he should, you know, be checking all the boxes.
He is sexy, baby.
Right. He's all about that sexy time. So I think she expected a lot more of him in the first encounter. Yeah. Like, it's just the first encounter.
Also, like, maybe also Hamza might have been hearing, like, the ticking clock of mom around the corner of, like, boy, mom could come in here any second.
Yeah. Mom and sister in the same house. Yeah. I don't know how big the place is. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot of things on the mind.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Hamza ultimately is going to tell us is just like Memphis is just too much. What a compliment if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the best thing he could have said to her. He says, you know, she's so sexy that he couldn't control himself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like ultimately, like, you know, it's probably flattering.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Right. Because I feel like, you know, these are debates that can happen all over the world. I've certainly seen them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Of the time, the lack of time equaling a lot of attraction versus, you know, longevity equals this. You know, it's a lot of math for the morning for us. So we're going to skip on over that.
Yeah.
But I think his heart is pure and I think he means what he said.
Okay. All right. So the only time Hamza has ever had the sexy time at the house, the only time he was willing to make mom mad was for Memphis. And he says that you're my heart, you're my soul.
I mean, listen, he found the language. He's feeling it.
With words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that's, listen, big compliment if he was willing to risk getting caught by his family in their house with you. I mm-hmm. think Hamza knows at this point in the conversation, oh, she's not feeling insecure. I need to be on damage control. And he's throwing everything he can to make sure Memphis feels okay leaving this conversation.
Okay. So back at the house, Memphis is trying to do damage control with mom. And so she's going to do that by trying to help mom with dinner. But yeah, I don't know if she's really impressing mom with her work with handling the fish.
Yeah, she's definitely having a tough time. So they're trying to gut this fish to then cook it. And she is not hiding her face at all. She's definitely struggling with this. But I think ultimately mom, you know, likes that she's helping. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But, you know, she's giving it a shot. She's trying whatever she can and you know, gutting a fish. Maybe not what she thought was going to be on her list that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Memphis being a little bit of a baby with the fish.
Yeah, it's not that deep. Like, to me, it's not, that's not that big a deal. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis was like on Fear Factor. you are not impressing this woman, Memphis. Like, suck it up.
Yeah, it's just fish. Cook it.
Yeah. So then mom tells us that she's worried Hamza will starve to death based on her time with Memphis in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having that kind of reaction to this food, then what other foods are you having reactions to? Like, she did seem very weak in all this, so I'm not surprised by that outcome, mm-hmm. by that thought.
Yeah, okay. All right, so mom now is going to go on the offense a little bit here. Okay, let's do a reset of, okay, you are sleeping in here. You are sleeping here. Everybody got it? Okay, got it. Got it, mom. Okay, also, then mom wants to know about Memphis's divorce. And now we learned in, I think it was last week's episode, that Hamza's mom, she too has been divorced. But she just seemed to be like especially hard on Memphis about her own two divorces, even though it's only one.
Yeah, so what we've learned about Hamza's mom is that the fact that she got divorced made life very hard for her here where they're living because of the cultural the cultural takeaways of someone being divorced as being seen potentially as a lesser person. Mm-hmm. So I think that's especially been hard on her, and she had to raise these two kids on her own. So she is in this moment trying to protect Hamza from being a divorced person, and not so much be saying like, you know, for the sake of the grandchildren or for the sake of both of you, I don't want you to be divorced. Because, you know, what I wish mom would realize is, well, Memphis also got divorced, so you're kind of on the same playing field here. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to be accusing her of divorcing your kid, especially since they're not gone anywhere with it. But then, you know, obviously Memphis does a good job of just agreeing and reassuring, listen, that's not going to happen. We're going to be fine. But I feel like the conversation again, and this might be the language barrier, it didn't quite go the way I think either party expected.
Yeah, I don't really know what answer mom thought she was going to get there. And it was coming off a little bit like, well, my son is perfect. And so how do I know you're not going to divorce him?
Right. And listen, your son's not exactly like a peach, but mm-hmm. I think your son is innocent and young and naive enough that I see your need to want to protect him.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows what he's signing up for with like a long-term serious relationship mm-hmm. like this.
Well, even Hamza says like, hey, there's a lot I don't know about Memphis's past.
Which is true. I mean, they barely speak to each other, Rob. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of history here that is left covered that I think will inevitably, you know, come through down the pipe as we go along here and we get to know them more.
Okay. All right. We're going to seemingly find out next week about another, like there's so many things that the couples learn about each other that I think that Hamza said that he was 28 and we find out that he's 26 going on 27.
Right. So he had told her that he was already 28, but he's about to turn 27 soon, and this could be like, you know, cut together specifically in a way, but Memphis is taking this very hard and crying mm-hmm, about mm-hmm. being lied to, which I mean, this is the second lie now. This is two lies. They're not like massive lies, but they're still lies nonetheless. Yeah.
Well, even we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's like, boy, it seems like that there's a big age difference between the two of them. They're like, oh, I think she was what, 30? Is she 34? And it's like, well, she's 34 and he's 27. It's not, but like, you know, that there definitely is like a, you know, an age difference that is, you know, we thought it was a little bit closer and it turned out to go in the other direction.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger now. I don't know how Hamza is going to maybe try and get out of this one. It's going to be a difficult time to try and fix it, I think, especially again with the language barrier, but we'll just have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens next time. And you feel bad for Memphis, I feel like, because they feel like there's a lot of bait and switch, and we're not talking about what they use to catch that fish.
Right, right. I mean, I feel for both of them because the now we've seen, what, 5 episodes. I don't think they are compatible for one another based on what we're seeing. I think they come from different worlds. And I think that just for me, the language barrier is big enough of an issue. But then all these lies coming in, not good. And you know, Memphis did fly across the world to come here. So I feel bad for Memphis taking that trip. But we'll just have to wait and see now. Will that schedule she had for them, Rob, the 1 week this, 2nd week marriage, 3rd week honeymoon, is that going to happen or not? We'll see.
Yeah, I just feel like that overall in 90 Day Fiancé, I feel like there's a lot of like, yeah, but I'm ready for this person to be the one and I'm here now. I just feel like there's a lot of like sunk costs on these 90 Day Fiancé relationships.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's because they all come in with such high expectations without having had those conversations to set it up. And I think another couple that did this episode, we can talk about this more, is Caleb and Alina, mm-hmm. where there's like one side might have this whole plan figured out, but they're not discussing that together to, you know, have a clearer picture of what each other may want.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about Caleb and Alina and what's going on there as they continue their whirlwind romance and meet Alina's friend and much more. And we'll come back right after this.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, Caleb and Alina are back together, and it's the morning after some kissy time.
Yeah, and only kissy time, Rob. That's it. Nothing more than that.
That's it. And we talked about last time out that, you know, the whole thing with Caleb and Alina, it did seem like it was perhaps like a little performative of like, oh, I'm so attracted to you. I'm going to throw you on the bed. And I think that Alina was just basically like, okay, I thought our first kiss might have been like kind of sweet and romantic, but it was very, you know, passionate. And I'm like, okay, that's fine with me. Let's go there. But then, so that was for the camera. And then it was like, it seemed like the camera was off. It was like, Caleb's like, all right, good night.
And I think that's why Alina may have expected them to go further, because it really did start very hot and heavy with the way Caleb was initiating, mm-hmm. that I thought that's where they went. I was surprised to find out that they didn't go beyond that last night.
No. Well, Caleb was like, well, we took a step and now we took the next step in our relationship was that we kissed and that was it. She's like, all right, well, I was ready for more.
Yeah. You set it up a little too well, maybe, Caleb, mm-hmm. yeah. in trying to prove that you are attracted and you are not just like, you know, being a little distant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Alina, she's left with questions. She's left confused. And what do you think about Caleb's explanation of why they had to stop?
He's trying to, you know, tell us, and I feel like this has been kind of his persona from the beginning. He wants to take it slow, Rob. Mm-hmm. He wants to take it slow. He wants to make sure they don't go like, you know, push too quickly, and he needs to adjust to how, and that's what he tells us. Then to her, he tells her that, you know, this is a little bit different to me. I'm still trying to get used to you and, you know, the height difference and all of that stuff. Like he's mentioning that stuff a lot. And while I think the message is crystal to me in what he's saying, this is not great at all to what he's telling Alina. I feel like this is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ends up like telling her like, well, we're different heights. And so that, you know, I haven't adjusted to you. And so it took my head out of it a little bit. And I'm trying to get there. Like, what are you talking about,
Yeah. Stop it. Just
like,
tell us.
We're different heights. Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. I think, is he trying to be honest? If he is, it's like the shadiest way to do it. Mm-hmm. He's not being direct at all. I feel like he's trying to have both sides. He can't do it. And it's not coming off great to Alina. This is just making Alina feel more self-conscious because mm-hmm. you keep making it seem like it's this like very, very like hard adjustment. Mm-hmm. And if it is, that's fine for you. If it is for you, that's fine. But just say that instead of trying to, you know, paint a picture and give us mixed messages. Yeah.
And by the way, Puya, when he says that his head was out of it, that gives me a very specific signal about what he's trying to say here.
Maybe I needed spoon fed to me, Rob.
I don't know. I feel like that it's like, okay, well, once your head is out of it, I feel like that maybe that maybe the body is not willing.
Right. So do you think maybe his intention was to go through and then his mind kind of put a stop to it? Like he got in his own head and like,
is that what he's saying? That, yeah. Did he get like, was he thinking about this too much? Overthink?
I don't think so. Cause then he doesn't say that he wanted to.
Yeah.
So I think it's more so that he gets the kiss going and then maybe mid kiss, he maybe thinks that way and immediately puts a stop to it. Not so much that he was getting to the door, but then denied entry.
I was just wondering if he like psyched himself out.
No, I don't think so. I think that it was more so he just got to thinking about it after the kiss and, you know, kind of was like, all right, let me think about this more. Mm-hmm. I don't think he got to that place where he would have psyched himself out. Okay.
All right. So Caleb's activity for the day, I'm going to take Alina to the gym. This one I thought was a weird call.
I agree. I think it was a weird call. And I think, you know, he's got Alina in this place where Alina wants to reassure him that they can be happy together and they can do the mm-hmm. stuff he likes doing. So she takes the hit on this one. Goes to the gym with him. Interesting date choice for when you're in Turkey. I feel like there's so many other things you can be doing.
Right, right. So I guess they're going to visit like the hotel gym. I mean, Alina has told us that, you know, for long distances, you know, she is going to use the wheelchair. We have to see that she brought her friend out there just to help her get to the airport. Caleb's like, hey, how about you go on the treadmill?
Yeah, how about that? How about some treadmill, maybe a little bit of sit-up action?
Sit-ups, yeah.
And, like, this is why I feel a little bit uncomfortable with Caleb, is that I feel like because of the night prior, Rob, because of him making her feel like she's not normal, I think she's going out of her way now to prove that, hey, I'm normal. I'm just like you. And she's being put through the gym routine just because Caleb wants to go to the gym while on vacation.
So he's trying to make it into a date. Really, he just needs to, you know, get his reps in on this trip. And Caleb says, well, like this for him was a sign. Alina is really into him because she was willing to do something that she wouldn't normally do. She stepped out of her comfort zone.
Yeah. And let me tell you this, Rob, if Liana and I are on vacation, we're at a resort somewhere or we're in a foreign country, we're there to see sights. And she's like, I'm going to go to the hotel gym. Do you want to join me? I'm like, no, I'm good. You go ahead. Mm-hmm. I am chilling here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a coffee. I'm going to hang out. So I think it is living proof that Alina is really trying to impress Caleb here.
Yes. Alina is putting in a major effort here. All right. So let's go meet another friend, Maria.
Yes. Or as I like to call Maria, the second friend that might be testing Caleb.
Yes. Well, I do think that just a big part of being friends with Alina is that you have to like really like look out for her.
Yeah. And we've talked about this last week.
You're very protective of her.
They're all very protective of Alina, maybe to a fault even in some cases, but they just want the best for their friend, which mm-hmm. is lovely.
Yeah. Okay. So, they get into the story of how did you meet Alina, I guess, jokingly said that she was going to be the mail order bride for Caleb.
Yeah. So the joke was that, you know, she's going to be the mail order bride. So then she sent him a video kind of applying for it. And immediately mm-hmm. I was like, this makes me think of when Taryn sent you his Big Brother audition video to be a podcaster.
Yes.
Kind of similar, just without the romantical angle mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. But then it worked, right? So they're here now. And then the friend asks, well, what are your plans for like, you know, the future? Are you going to stay in Russia or go to America? What's the deal? And Caleb replies, that's a little bit extreme. Yeah. That's a little too much to ask right now.
He says, this is actually a really great conversation for us to have privately and not with you. So if you could just back off.
Which... valid, like if you're not comfortable talking about that stuff, that's valid. But what it does teach me is that that's the universal code for we haven't talked about it. And I haven't
talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm good. I don't want to discuss this further.
I think that those are valid conversations that we should be having at some point. But right now, I just want to enjoy this time here together, get to know each other.
Yeah, it's just there's in such different places, I feel like.
Yeah, lots of hedging going on from Caleb.
Yeah, he's so unsure that he can't not show how unsure he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems very obvious to the friends.
Yeah, I mean, no one here is thinking, oh, maybe, you know, he's... No, everyone knows this guy is not 100% sure about this relationship. And I think they've seen this before with other people Alina might have dated. So they're not... Like, they're trained to figure this out quickly now. So asking these questions, getting these responses, they kind of know where they stand with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean... Do you feel like that? Is it a possibility? Like, could Caleb be in this whole thing, not for love, but potentially for the clout?
I mean, I feel like the minute we saw him running around his like backyard shirtless in that first episode, I felt that way. I think we're seeing him kind of trying to figure it out, but then also,
is he here for the wrong reasons?
It's possible. But no, honestly, part of me, like having seen them more, I think he wants things. He likes her. But I genuinely think he's not come to term with the way Alina is and her condition. I think he isn't sure about it. But I think he's also terrified of being mean about it or ignorant about it. So he's towing this line very much like, safely and not fully, you know, he doesn't fully know where he is with her, because I think he wants, you know, the world that's watching to see him be completely accepting, comfortable with Alina and everything she is, because she is a queen. But I think he's still like, he can't help himself. He doesn't know if he's there yet. So all these like half questions, like hedging, this is all because he's so unsure. And I don't think he knows how to best phrase it and frame it for the world to see.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna then get them leaving the place, and you know, Caleb tries to reassure Alina, like, "Well, I do want to talk about these things, but you know, I just don't want to talk about them right now." You know, obviously.
And she apologizes for her friend as well, and basically, Caleb's huge statement here is, we can, like, making a long-term plan is what I want, is important, but we need to do it through good information, and we can only get good information through further communication. Mm-hmm. So okay. Further getting to know each other. All right. So that was a great line. He delivered one line good. That's
okay.
Good.
All right. So yeah. Let's go back to the hotel room. Okay. And now this is basically like a line is drawn in the sand for Caleb that this is going to be the night. No excuses.
Yeah, they're going to do the thing tonight. And TLC, if I may have a one-on-one with you right now, that was way too long of us watching two people awkwardly like set up sex with like camera people in the room. Like we didn't need to see all that for us to know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we did.
Well, the show has really built up this will they, won't they into like it was a weird scene. I think that there was like no music.
Just macking. It was just macking and hands. And I was like, I get it. I know what they're going to do. Like I'm 29. I know what's going to happen here. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Move on. So and it was the last episode of scene of the episode, was it?
That was, I mean, I thought they're like, okay, what kind of cliffhanger is this going to end on? But it just ended on them, like sweet, sexy time.
Exactly. Sweet, sexy time. And you know, we've talked about Caleb kind of being a little performative with the throwing her on the bed. He does the exact same thing here again. I can't tell if this is him playing it up for the cameras or not, but I think if we didn't get the next time on, we could have easily been fooled again to, oh, they just made out because Caleb has done this before.
No.
But the next time on, Rob, Elijah's confirmation. Back, baby.
Elijah's right. Back, yes.
And he asks for the tea. We get the tea from Alina. They had the sex. And does it just mean that Elijah looked very surprised that it happened?
Elijah seemed very into it, and he wanted that tea.
He wanted the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a cappuccino.
A cappuccino and then some. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we will find out what happens when Alina goes on the disco stick.
Oh, she did say that. She took a ride on his disco stick. Shout out Lady Gaga. Boom.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right. That's Caleb and Alina. Should we talk about the Mike and Jimena of it all? Speaking of the report cards.
Let's. We might as well get all the grades out of the way here today. Let's
get the grades out of the way. So, okay, Mike and Jimena. We found out at the end of the last episode, Jimena's kids didn't want to go to bed. I think her youngest was waking up. But finally, Mike got lucky.
Lucky is putting it lightly, Rob. He said that this was the best time he's ever had with a woman. Number one on the power rankings.
Although I did feel like that it was a little bit weird. His line delivery was a little weird that he said, this was the best time I ever had, ... with a woman.
Ooh, so what do you think the ... means?
I'm not sure. If he said maybe he said better times by himself, maybe he said better times not with a woman. I don't know.
I think it's the only time he's ever had with a woman.
Yes. Okay.
So, I mean, because his dating sheet, right? It was one time he was dating in high school, mm-hmm. and that was it. So I don't think there's that big of a progress report for him to be able to compare grades. But I'm glad he specified, you know, with Jimena, best time ever.
Yeah, that's some. How was it last night?
Our first night together in bed was the best time that I've ever had with a woman.
this is a little bit of a long pause. Well, I mean, it implies that he had a better time doing something else.
Maybe. Yeah, mm-hmm. maybe he does like riding solo.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, or maybe he like went to Great Adventure or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
he saw a movie he really liked one time. Like maybe that's more so he means like total, like overall doing any activity in the world with anybody. Mm-hmm. This is the most fun I've had with a woman ever.
Yeah.
So okay. Maybe that's what he means.
All right. Well, how about Jimena? Okay. I wish I could play the clip, but it is not in English. Mm-hmm. She is asked about, okay, Jimena, well, how was it for you? She says, it was normal. Nothing out of this world. But I think for Mike, it was the best moment of his life.
I love Jimena knowing exactly what she delivered. And I love her telling us, yeah, what he gave me was a little bit more store-bought than restaurant. So mm-hmm. it was not great. It was fine.
Yeah. And then Mike adds in like, oh, I don't know what she said. Good Mike, you don't want to know.
Yeah. Shh. Sweet Mike, just be quiet. You had a good time. Just shut up. Just don't say anything else.
Oh, man. I mean, and Jimena, the one thing she said, as long as the sex is good, as long as sexy time is fine, we will not have a problem. That did not sound like that it was normal, nothing out of this world.
It doesn't sound like it was bad, which is great, right? So to me, it sounds like maybe he, you know, maybe Mike went a little further than Hamza did on the time mm-hmm. scale, mm-hmm. but also didn't, you know, blow the record out of proportion. Like it was fine. It was okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. didn't seem like that Ximena felt like, okay, but there's potential there. Like, it was a good start.
Right.
I think we can work from this. It was like, eh.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
would you go back to that place? Probably not.
Or maybe you, it's like, you know, it's your regular. It's like, yeah,
I didn't die. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was food, I guess.
Yeah. Again, on the scale of, yeah, having a slice of toast and butter at home to gourmet restaurant, he falls somewhere in the middle of fast casual. Like, you know, we're going to quickly get a 3-piece and some fries. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, but.
Okay. And then I thought it was also a very bad sign, Puya, when then afterwards Mike left the room and she held up his underwear and said to her kids, how disgusting.
Yeah. So I actually was curious, was this was it really dirty underwear? Was it smelly? Was it just she didn't like the cut of the fabric? Like, what was disgusting about it?
I don't know.
Because... I found it weird because we didn't visually, there was nothing wrong with it. I didn't see any like kind of badness on it. So was it the scent? I don't know. All I know is that that's not a great sign, but also again, she told us it was fine.
Right. So. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much of like, was there something that was wrong with these specific underwear? But I just thought that was a little bit of a red flag. I mean, look, I already told you my feelings on the farts in a jar, but I kind of feel like that if you are in love with someone, I kind of feel like that you don't pick up their underwear and say, oh my God, this is disgusting.
But then her kid was there, right? So maybe
it was for a show.
Yeah, maybe it was like, ew, oh, stinky. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, all right, time to go to Ximena's favorite place in Colombia, the water park.
So full on, we're talking hot springs, Rob, but listen, the whole family is getting in the car again. Everyone is going to this location. And yeah.
Dad has a good hate into Mike.
Yeah, so she wants to show Mike her favorite parts of Colombia. This is one of them. And it is a very romantic place. That's, I don't know, nice. Why the whole family's here. And then they kind of make out in the water, but then the dad's like giving them daggers. I felt uncomfortable, and I was just sitting in my room.
Yeah, the dad really was not happy with, because, you know, Ximena, after all that, says, like, look, Mike needs some practice in bed. But she can feel the love between them.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like a lovable fellow, right? He seems like a sweetie. So
he is a sweetie.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We did get her sister, Wendy, kind of asking some questions about him.
Yes. Okay. And what did Wendy find out?
So Wendy finds out about their how they were, how everything is, how she's feeling. But then also throws a bombshell that we as the viewers didn't know. Does Mike know that you can't have kids? Uh-oh.
Does Mike know? And since it's 90 Day Fiancé, and we know that the answer to any question about does your partner know X secret about you, the answer is always no. And exactly. So, no, he does not yet know that. I guess Ximena had some difficult childbirths in the past. She had cesareans. And so she said that she had an operation, so she can't have babies. She had her tubes tied, I believe she said, and they burned them.
Which, yeah, I mean, so I wrote down.
I don't know if I've never heard of that medical procedure before. Maybe that's a thing, but that seems excessive.
Yeah, well, I wrote down as well as she got her tubes tied, because she said something along the lines of, I got my tubes removed and burned them. And I thought, I don't know if this is just like a figure of speech or it's literal. I literally don't know. So I just went with what I had gathered based on what she was saying. So this is especially interesting to find out because, you know, it would be completely normal if Mike is content with not having any children.
Yeah.
But
I mean, this is a little bit, you know, we just are, you know, not experts in this matter in any way. But I guess that is a thing. Seems excessive, no?
It's actually a thing that wasn't a figure of speech.
Yeah. It seems like that, tubes tied and burned, is a thing. I mean, I kind of feel like that. I don't know what, they are occasionally burned to close them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I learned a new thing. Who said 90 days in educational?
We're learning a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So eventually, Ximena, she knows this is going to be a problem. We see her later in the episode. She's going to talk to Mike and the universal translator doing a lot of work here.
Surprisingly decent, mm-hmm. I thought, especially since we've seen it fumble so many times. It did a very good job, in my opinion, of getting across what was going on. I want to commend Ximena for really wasting no time and just being honest with Mike and telling mm-hmm. Mike, hey, here's the situation. I think that ultimately this is one of those things that, you know, you're terrified to tell your partner because, especially if you haven't met yet, he's going to leave. So now that he's had a good one day here, he's connecting with you, he's connecting with the kids. Tell him now, get it out the way. And I thought they had a very adult conversation about this. And I was very happy to see it on 90 Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she basically says that, okay, I had the operation that I can't have any more children ever. And he's like, wait, why did you have this operation? And she said that she was scared and this was a rough childbirth. And he said, why didn't you tell me sooner?
That's a valid question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Valid question from Mike.
Yeah.
But then he says that this is something he needs to think over and he'll need time to mull it over. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I was nervous you were going to leave me, Ximena says. Points.
Valid. Valid. Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. And so Mike that says that it's basically just like, well, it's 2021 and things could be done and, Mike, what are you going to do? You're gonna have a surrogate,
adoption. Like there's a couple of steps here, but genuinely, Rob, my prediction is he's going to be completely fine with this because he still gets to be a stepfather to her two kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be an issue here with Mike. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, Mike's not going anywhere. Okay. Yeah. After the best night of his life, that Ximena, this guy's not going anywhere. You got it.
Yeah, you
he's
got
all
him.
Yours, Ximena.
It's done. It's mm-hmm. done.
Whatever you want to do, you got this guy. Congratulations. Yeah,
unless you're done with him, you got him. You're good.
Unless you're done with him. Okay. All right. Let's do one more break. We'll come back. Johnny and Ella coming up right after this.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, Puya, let's talk about what's going on with the Johnny and Ella of it all. And we got to see them separately before we find out the big news. Johnny is with his son, Stoney.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Stoney and his parents. He wants to spend time with his loved ones before he inevitably, obviously, leaves for 3 months to go to the States to be with Ella. And it was very sweet. Very sweet seeing him interact with Stoney. I loved all of that. Stoney seems like a very energetic kid. So I was very glad to meet Stoney properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we got to meet Stoney, and then we spent a lot of time with Johnny and his parents. And I got to be honest, this really didn't do anything for me because I feel like we already got this last week with Johnny and his friend. We know all of the red flags about Johnny going to America. He's giving up a job. He's leaving the kid. We get it.
Yeah, there's especially
nobody wants him to go.
Having these episodes be back to back wasn't good, in my opinion, for them, because mm-hmm. we literally just saw the exact same exchanges with different people now. It was sweet seeing him, you know, do his ritual with his family of making the dumplings and hanging out.
Great.
That was great. But the content was samey.
But also, Puya, that you know how I know his entire family is against this?
How?
Because I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé. Every single person. No, this is a bad idea. Friends, no. What are you thinking? You idiot. Terrible idea. We hate this plan. How many times do I need to see it?
Well, I feel like especially in the case of Johnny, yeah, the dude's leaving his job that he's on a good side for promotion for and his house that he's a place that he's renting to go. Obviously, you're going to feel some red flags coming along the way.
Yeah, yeah. We all got together and we think that this is a very dumb plan and we do not think you should go through with it. And everybody's like, YOLO, I'm doing it.
Yeah, it reminded me of the many times I'll sit Chappelle down. I'll be like, listen, are you sure you want to tweet this at 3 a.m? Like, we've decided it's not good for you. He's like, nope, I'm doing it.
I got to do it. So, I got to be me. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So that's what's going on with Johnny. Johnny also says, like, the reason why he needs to be with Ella is because that for many years in China, you could only have one kid. And there's not a lot of women in China.
That's what he was alluding to, was that because a lot of people would favor having a son if they could only have one kid.
A lot of the women left China. Is this correct? Can we fact check this? I know we were burned on the tubes thing in more way than one, but a lot of women left China.
Yeah, I see. I don't know about this stuff. I don't know about this my geography facts at all. To me, until I get fact checked, of course, I'm sure someone will tell me. I feel like this is what he's telling his family to kind of get their permission to go about, you know, not marrying someone from here and going to the States. It sounds like that's the version of the story he's giving. But I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, we'll see. We'll see what's,
1.11 male to female 2020 estimate.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's not like a crazy ratio.
Yeah, it's 104 male to 100 female. So that's not a big difference.
Yeah, all right. But for Johnny, that's it. He's got to find Ella. All right, meanwhile, Ella, she is going to lose. Her goal is to lose 10 pounds before Johnny comes. Maybe 20.
Yeah, maybe 20. Yeah, so she is going to the gym. She's trying to get weight loss going. That's right. That's right. I was surprised we got two gym scenes this.
Yeah, no lunkheads allowed.
So she goes, she gets a personal trainer, kind of tells her what the spiel is. Like, I've got my partner coming in from China, so I'm going to try and get ready. And then while she's working out, Rob, she gets a text message that kind of shatters her world a little bit.
Yep. Okay. So Johnny's visa got denied and then he's not answering the phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be specifically his visa to Singapore. So what we learned was that he had applied for a Singapore visa so that he could go there and quarantine for 2 weeks before coming to the States. So we've seen this happen with, again, Andrew and Amira last regular 90 day season. So what I'm predicting is going to happen is either he looks for an alternative country to go to or the plans are now on ice. So we'll see what happens. But it's not a great sign that he couldn't get that visa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you think that he's going to end up hitting a different country, like the Andrew and Amira plan of like, okay, then we'll get to, instead of by way of Singapore, you know, go to wherever and then go to the United States.
Yeah. Like, he has no choice. That's the only way he's going to be able to make this work, if at all. So he has to. It's just a question of, is there another option and can he get that stuff sorted on time. Because my prediction now is, so we did see, Rob, next week we're going to be meeting a brand new couple here.
Yeah.
In the form of Ben and Mahogany, which we think Ben is just being catfish plain and simple. Mm-hmm. But then there was no next time on for these two. So I imagine this is where we start maybe seeing less of Johnny and Ella and seeing more of this couple, because.
And they came in late too. I wonder how much Johnny and Ella we have.
Right. So like maybe they liked this couple. They wanted the story with them, but they were put on hold because of this. And then maybe they're introducing us now and we'll see them later. Or maybe I'm wrong and they're going to be on the show. Yeah. Fine. We'll see.
All right. We'll see where we go from there. And then let's talk about a Gino and Jasmine Christmas.
Who would have thought we'd have Christmas in January? But here we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gino and Jasmine Christmas. And so, all right. It's going to be a big day. And we're going to kick things off with instructions for Jasmine of how to use the electric toothbrush.
The coveted gift that she got the day he arrived, the electric
now,
toothbrush.
Don't throw the old one out. You want to keep a manual toothbrush around.
And we've discussed this, Rob. You not a electric toothbrush guy. You'd rather a manual.
I've had them, and I've had the regular ones, and I kind of feel like, give me the regular one.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You know, the electric isn't doing a lot for me to be like, wow, I must have this. Eh.
Didn't change my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They do the toothbrushing, a lot of giggles, and then we get the 1 hour later. Was that implied that something else happened in between?
I mean, I certainly took it as mm-hmm. something happened in between. So, okay.
All right. So Christmas, is this Christmas Day?
This is still Eve. We're Christmas still on Eve.
Okay. All right. They're going to go to the store and go to the mall, and it is going to be a whole makeover for Gino.
Yeah, Gino is rocking blue gym shorts, sandals with, sandals with the back, which is like a sandal in sport mode. And he's not a stylish guy. We know this.
Yes.
He's no Uncle Bo.
Yeah, the most stylish man ever. That Jasmine says about Gino that he wears sports shorts, but the man doesn't play sports.
Yeah, a bad news cone for you, Jasmine.
It's called athleisure.
Yeah, you can wear it and not do the thing. That's allowed.
Yeah, that's what we do here in America.
I can wear a business suit and not conduct business. I can wear a birthday suit and it's not my birthday.
Yes. I do feel like it is rare to see the person wearing a business suit who is not conducting business.
I mean, listen, depending on what kind, if you're trying to portray something, mm-hmm. if you're playing a role, mm-hmm. there are places where you don't, but agreed. I think especially sports or basketball shorts, like basketball shoes, like a lot of us wear them and don't do it. We mm-hmm. just like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that they're in the store and the makeover is happening. Were you that impressed with the clothes that Gino was trying on in the store that Jasmine was really losing her mind over?
No, he was wearing a polo shirt. Like, it wasn't that deep. She's like, oh my God, look how good you look. How bad is his clothing been since he's arrived that she is losing her mind over this, like, what I can only imagine be like a $40 shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, oh my God, Gino. Oh, you look so good. You have a butt now. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, I guess your butt isn't really seen well in gym shorts. So I got to give him that.
Gym shorts.
Yeah.
Okay.
She did tell us he wears a couple, like he wears baggier items as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that they pick out all these clothes and they get to the register and Gino basically has like a gut check moment and is like, I didn't know it was going to be so much money. I am going to, do we have to do this today?
Yeah, I didn't bring all that much with me, so I don't think I'm going to get these. And then she says, well, what do you want me to do? It's like, all right, well, let's just leave. But I think he made a mistake here.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is they're meeting her friend Leo tonight, and they went shopping, I think, buy one item of clothing.
Right.
Like, buy one outfit.
Yeah, he made it sound like, oh, like I don't have like my wallet. I guess we have to come back. I don't have any money. But yeah, they could have bought one thing.
I mean, throw $50 down, buy one of the 15 outfits. Like, it's not like just one. I feel like that could have been fine. But they left. They left with zero things purchased. And I think that this made Jasmine feel a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Safe to say. And Gino tells us that, yeah, I'm never going to spend $500 on clothes. And I thought, all right, that's fine, Gino. Mm-hmm. But also, you could have spent 50 or 60 on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She just doesn't want Jasmine to look at me as a walking cash machine.
Which I don't think she has been. But also, you've kind of set it up like that if she ever does, because of all the money you have sent for her to do stuff and get stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's on you.
Okay. All right. Guess what, Puya? We are going to meet Jasmine's friend, Leo.
Yes, we meet Leo, the legend himself. Leo, we find out, is Jasmine's hairdresser.
Yes.
Do I have that correct? Yeah, yes, hairstylist.
That's right. Okay. And so they go and they meet up with Leo. And the introduction to Gino is that here is Gino. He doesn't care how he dresses. He is who he is. This is Gino.
Would you take that as a compliment or an insult?
It was not meant as one. And then Leo is like, oh, he is perfect.
He's great. And then, Rob, we get a little bit of the talking in the non-English language to try and get some information across to each other here with them.
Did you tell him about the birth control pills is the question that Leo wants to know.
This is a lot of information for your hairstylist to have.
In the chair, and I think everything, basically, it's, you know, nothing's off the table.
Yeah, let me know, Twitter. Your barber, your hairstylist, how much do they know about you? Because I feel like this was a lot. Maybe they just became good friends after all of that went down. So he asks her that, and she says no. And... Mm-hmm. You know, Gino's none the wiser, just sitting there.
Yeah, but it would have been awkward, like, but he did start speaking Spanish. He did pick up the Rosetta Stone.
Yep, the Duolingo. He got a little bit going there. Yeah, because I think does Gino know more than Mike does, than Hamza does?
Well, I think, does Gino know more than blank? The answer is no. Gino knows less than all.
Hey, he's Gino. He doesn't care how he looks. He's just here.
Yes, yes. He is here to father a child. That's it.
And wear these awful sandals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, that he is very much pushing. He has brought pregnancy tests. He didn't bring presents, but the man brought pregnancy tests.
And blue pills.
Yes. Okay. I mean, that is like a lethal combo, Viagra and pregnancy tests.
Yeah, it's I don't know if the two are necessarily meant to be bought complementary to each other, but here we are.
Yeah. Okay. Leo, you know, he is worried about this match because he has seen Jasmine's temper, because Puya, once upon a time, one of Leo's assistants burnt Jasmine's hair.
And Jasmine nearly pulled that assistant's hair out with her bare hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did not go well.
No. Yeah, Jasmine, surprise, surprise, might have a hot streak. Leo confirms it to...
She's
to...
like a puppy.
I mean, I don't know about you, Rob. I've never met a puppy that has been like, you pet me the wrong way. I'm gonna take you out.
Yeah, no, in no way is Jasmine like a puppy. She is like an attack dog that, you know, you sort of like a Rottweiler. You sneak up on her the wrong way. You make her mad. Forget about a puppy is like, okay, a puppy might like nip you, but it's like, oh, so cute. Like, it's not like that the puppy is like goes off and like he's gonna try to like murder you for 10 minutes and then and sort of forgets about it. That's not a puppy.
No, definitely not. Maybe the wrong animal here to pick for the comparison with Jasmine. And I think that it's just Gino continuously tells us that he thinks that, you know, he's hoping that this isn't like her anger streak isn't that big of a deal, that he can change her. And I'm here to tell Gino, you're not changing her, dude. Yes, it's not happening.
You will be changed. You will be changed, Gino. Your clothes will be changed. Your house will be changed. Everything you do will be changed. Jasmine will be the same.
Yep. And you can either take it or leave it. And we know you're not going to leave it.
That's you're going to take it. You're exactly. going to take it. So goodbye, old Gino.
Hello, new Gino.
Hello, new Gino. And hello, same exact Jasmine.
That's perfect. We wrapped it up. That's it.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, speaking of wrapping it up. Okay. No, not like that. the presents. We need to talk about the presents. It's Christmas morning. Yes. Okay. So, all right. They wake up on Christmas. Jasmine tells us she tried to look sexy on Christmas morning, but I think she's saying that she looked like the girl in the ring.
Yeah, I don't know. She didn't quite love what she was doing, but listen.
I got to tell you something. I do not care for that girl in the ring.
Who does? Is anyone like a fan of the girl from the ring?
I don't know. I don't know. But like, if I go to a party and somebody's dressed up like her, I'm leaving.
Damn, they have that much power over you. You're going to skip out on your enjoyment for this one costume?
Like, I'm fine with E.T., Marvin Harry, Chucky, whatever. The girl from the ring shows up. All right, check, please.
So I have a question for you, then a technical one.
Yeah.
Okay. The pandemic, this is in the future. Pandemic is long gone. Thankfully, we are all good health. Everything's okay. You plan the next know-it-alls. Someone shows up wearing the ring costume. You're leaving? You're confirming it, right? You have to stay. You have no choice.
I mean, I don't think I can leave my own thing, but, you know, please, like, do not come near the stage, ma'am.
Don't talk
security,
to me, please.
Security. Sam Moore, can you please escort the ring lady out of the theater?
Listen, I don't know if Sam's got the facilities for that, Rob. I don't think he's going to be able to do that for you.
Okay, well.
Get someone else.
See, that look like I don't know what needs to happen.
Yeah. Please. So then, okay. So then now it's Christmas morning, Rob, and Gino is spending Christmas away from his family to be with Jasmine and decides, I'm going to do something nice for Jasmine today.
Breakfast.
I'm going to cook her breakfast. Yes. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Just me.
I'm going to cook today. And so how dumb is this man? How dumb is it that Jasmine's one of her things is, I am a vegan. I don't eat animal products. How many times has she told him this?
Many.
2 million or 3 million?
I mean, it literally is one of the five things she's told him that he should know about. And he tells us, you know, as long as there's eggs, I'm going to be fine. And he makes her a full, she's explaining to him, hey, I'm not going to eat that. And he's like, so two eggs then? Not three, huh? Just two?
How do you want these eggs?
Invisible, not on my plate, please.
Yeah. And so he makes the eggs for her, and he's like, here you go. Like, how dumb.
We knew this.
If we showed up there and we're like, all right, breakfast for Jasmine. All right, breakfast. Okay. Oh, wait, you're vegan. Right. Okay. All right. So what are we going to do? Yeah. I don't even know if she can eat the toast.
I think. Toast is fine, right?
I think there's eggs in bread.
Oh, there is eggs in bread. Yes. Yes.
That's one of the ingredients.
So, Gino, up a creek without a paddle here, definitely messes up breakfast, but not to worry. Jasmine's not too phased. He's learning. She is the first vegan he's met.
Man or woman.
Exactly. He will make it up to her, Rob. In the gift exchange, because everyone always makes it up in the gift exchange. You're fine.
Well, actually, Puya, he already, much like Hamza, I think, unloaded a bit too soon on what he had for his romantic partner, because he already gave her the present.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, what is the present? The toothbrush. He gave her a stocking stuffer as her main and only present. That's all he brought to give her.
Now, I mean, let's just be real here for a second. Okay. Jasmine has presents for Gino. And
yes.
I didn't think that Jasmine's presents were that great. I got to be, the t-shirt and the pillow were like hardly like earth shattering presents, but compared to Gino, empty handed, no present Gino. I mean, it looked like the Jasmine was like, oh, I got you all these things and you got me nothing.
And that's the truth, right? Is that ultimately the gifts were, it was two custom made t-shirts and a custom pillow, and it was relatively simple font. But first of all, it's the thought that counts on them. And then they had a funny message, is a little self-deprecating. What did the shirt say?
I love my crazy Panamanian girlfriend. And then yes. Jasmine had the shirt that said, I am the Panamanian, the crazy Panamanian girlfriend.
Right.
So wait, I'm not sure if her shirt said crazy. Her shirt might just, I am the Panamanian girlfriend.
I mean,
let me see if listen, let me look at it.
Okay. Give it a check. I will say, Jasmine bought herself more presents than Gino did. She literally gifted herself a t-shirt in front of him. Mm-hmm. So she's already up 1-0 on him there.
Yeah.
And then there was a pillow as well. But then I like that it was custom.
Yes, her shirt did indeed say, I am the crazy Panamanian girlfriend.
There you go. There you go. Context completed. And
then the pillow. Yes, the pillow. The pillow said that when I'm not there, you could hug the pillow. That's it. Don't hug another person.
Exactly. So it's not an interactive pillow. Like, it's not going to like let her know that he's hugging the pillow, but it's for him to have while she's away.
Okay. So you think that maybe that she should have maybe had a pillow where she could, Gino could hug the pillow and then it could give like some sort of like a response.
Yeah, because like
who's
remember
my sexy baby.
Oh,
okay. Who's my little baby?
Not like a drawstring doll. That would be horrifying. I hate that. No, but like I remember when Liana and I were, you know, long distance, I had looked into there were these like lights, like a
who's
table
my
light.
Sexy gringo.
Rob, I will buy you that pillow. Don't tempt me. Do not tempt me. But what I meant was like there were these lights where if you put your hand on it, the light lights up. There's two pairs, like one here, one in Canada, and then that one will light up in Canada, so they know that, you know, you're close by.
Yeah,
so something like that I thought would be great.
That would be nice, but that's maybe a little out of Gino's budget.
They were definitely pricier than I thought they were. So they were like, you know, a couple hundred. So ultimately, Rob, doesn't matter how much the gifts were fine. They were way better than Gino's goose egg. Not only did he give her a goose egg, he tried to give her eggs for breakfast, which she didn't eat.
No so eggs.
No breakfast, no gift, nothing. Bad day for Jasmine.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she sets it up like, okay, it's your turn. Okay, presents. It's like, well, I actually already gave it to you. It's like, the toothbrush.
How? How did he not have more? Nothing else?
Nothing else. And Jasmine is like, oh, well, all of these other women, you got them nice presents.
You took one to Europe.
Well, she says that you took, here's what Jasmine has to say, okay?
Trips, you took one of these bitches, you took her to Europe.
You took the B word to Europe.
Yeah, this is the second time now where Jasmine's throwing the B word on one of his exes. And Gino's just so oblivious, man. He literally was like, she keeps fixating on these exes because she's seeing what you gave the exes. Yeah. You're not giving her any of that.
I think Gino is a little like in this economy because I had money then. I don't have money now. So you should have caught me then.
Right. But this is where I think the blame falls on Gino, Rob. He has been out of a job for 7 months. This we know. And we know he's surviving because of his savings. But he's been showering her with gifts and money all the way leading to this trip. So the fact that you've given her that, but then you're not giving that in person isn't a good look for you. Also, did you notice the tattoo on her arm, Rob? We've not talked about this before.
No, it's a tattoo.
Remember the cherry tattoo that we tried to figure out what the cherry meant?
Okay.
It says Gino and Jasmine underneath. Oh, she has his name tatted on her.
Okay. All right. Let me ask some questions here. Okay.
Hit me with it.
Okay. Who is footing the bill for the stay in the Panamanian hotel?
Gino.
Okay. And who is paying for the dinner where the waitress isn't being tipped?
Gino.
I think in Gino's mind, I think he's that the trip is like part of it. You know, I think that he's like, okay, we're going to get together. We'll spend the holidays over the thing. I don't think in Gino's mind that I'll bring you a toothbrush. But I think that for Gino, I think that this whole thing, I think, is like the gift. So I could see a little bit where Gino is coming from of like, I think you're, you know, I don't have a ton of money right now, and I am spending a lot on this trip.
But
yeah, I could have gotten you another T-shirt, and he should have. He should have had something.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you know, it didn't have to be massive. It's just a little token of appreciation. But ultimately, you can never argue that unless you discuss it beforehand. You can never come in empty-handed. But listen, isn't the experience enough for our love? Because then it just seems like a damn excuse. So I don't. Gino definitely tactically dropped the ball here. Not a good look. And I feel Rob, he's testing her. Like, at what point is she going to be fed up with this? Because I feel like he's had a couple near falls and it's coming. I feel like the destruction's on its way.
Yeah. Because Gino's trying to say like, yeah, I just like, I'm out, you know, I'm sort of out of work and money is tough right now. So I don't really have a lot of money to spend. And Jasmine's like, or do you just not care about me?
Which is it?
Which is it?
Oh my God. And it's only going to get worse, yeah. Rob. It's only going to get worse with them.
She's a firecracker.
Mm-hmm. And in the next time on, she's talking about how she hates his decor. She hates his interior design at his place. And again, we know that the exes are in charge of having, you know, helped with that. And he defends it again. Mm-hmm. And she has a full breakdown in this next time on, talking about how he makes her seem like she's crazy all the time and she's fed up and then she's crying. I think, bold enough to say, Rob, Gino and Jasmine are going to be the stars of the next episode. They're going to have the most content. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good for Gino and Jasmine. Oh, my little babies. Okay. Good job. Once again, Gino and Jasmine, they're never getting a week off.
I really don't think they will. Mm-hmm. I think they are the ones that I can see having the most longevity on the show, on the episode running, because of the dynamic that they possess.
Mm-hmm.
Who's my little baby? Who's my pretty bonita?
Me.
Latina.
Why do you keep bringing this into it, Rob? You keep adding, do you like this? Is this what you want?
I kind of like it. Yeah, I think. I like it.
Tell Nicole, show Nicole this on the next 5 for 5, because I know she didn't watch that episode. Please show her. I want to hear her thoughts on this.
She would not like that. She doesn't like that. She wants the opposite. She's like, I want you to talk like Roy Kent from Ted Lasso.
Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. Yeah. No, Roy Kent's great. I love Roy Kent, so I can understand that.
It sounds like Mr. Bean.
Roy Kent is not Mr. Bean.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Pooya. 90 Day to Single Life. You got the whole thing coming up next.
I've got the whole thing ready to go with, and we'll be talking about that after we say goodbye here.
Okay. What else is coming up for you this week, Pooya?
Let's see. So this week, as far as podcasting goes, I am in the off season of literally everything. So this is the start the week with the podcast, then just streaming the rest of the week over on twitch.tv/Pooya and having a good time there. So definitely come there if you would like to hang out with me a little bit more. And if you were looking for other stuff I did this past week, we did the Podcasters Mafia.
Yes.
We had a great time.
What a night.
Rob was dealing with a lot. It was great.
Yep. Yep. Lots of excitement. Podcaster Mafia. You can check it out on the YouTube channel, of course. But yeah, this week I also talked about, speaking of trash TV, I talked about Joe Millionaire with Jenny Autumn.
Yes.
With Jenny Hundredaire.
I love that. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And the two of you together, great mix, great podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had that last week. The Amazing Race came back. So Lots of big stuff going on Rob's website.com. Make sure you subscribe to everything that we do. Rob's website.com/subscribe. Puya's got you for 90 Day The Single Life. But that's it for me. Coming up right after this. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hello, everybody, aboard the Hot Mess Express, and thank you for staying on to hear all about 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life Season 2, Episode 9. We're here to talk about everything that happened with our lovely singles in this franchise. I say lovely very lightly. I want you to know that. It's important to me that you know that. All right, there's not a lot here, but again, we move. We're going to get all of it done here in one take. Let's first talk about Ed. Okay. So Ed, you know, he's out here in Mexico trying to woo Coyote. He's trying really hard to convince Coyote. This is love. This is what it needs to be. It, me and you till the end of time. But then he starts the episode by calling his friend Laura. Laura, if you remember, is the friend that actually introduced the two of them. So he's calling Laura to get a little bit of intel and see whether or not she recommends him progressing forward, or, you know, if she has any information. So he tells Laura that he feels for Coyote. He feels like there's a connection there. He feels like there's love there. But he doesn't know how she feels about him. And Laura tells him, well, you know, you're both my friends. She's told me some stuff. I'll tell you some of it because you are a friend of mine, and says she's feeling it, so you have to take that chance, basically. So then this is exactly what Ed wanted to hear. You know, Ed's all excited. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm excited. You got me excited. I'm going to tell her, blah, blah, blah. So we move into later that day. All right, later that day now, he is hanging out. He goes to hang out with Coyote, and he's very clearly trying to progress this conversation with her. He's trying to get this to go to a place where they are now more than just, you know, acquaintances, friends, however you want to put it. And he's doing his best to get this over. But Coyote makes something abundantly clear. She says, I feel love, but when we talk about the relationship, there might be high expectations put in. And then in confessional, she tells us, you know, she feels like a relationship's built, that it takes time. It could take days, it could take months, it could take years. And she is feeling like Ed is trying to get it to go further rather quickly. And honestly, it's very evident. We know Ed. We know who he is. We know he does this all the time. And he's doing it yet again. And here is a woman literally telling Ed, calm down, hold your horses, let things progress naturally. You can't just get an answer out of me quick here and fast forward the relationship. She literally tells him, can't you be quiet and just let things happen? And then says, okay, we need quiet. Let's be quiet. He says, okay. So they're being quiet, you know, for like 2 seconds. And then Ed immediately says, well, can I just say something? She says, no, just be quiet. He can't even be silent for 2 minutes. And he tells us that he's feeling all anxious and he doesn't know what's going to happen. I thought it was very clear what she asked. She said, let things happen naturally. She's not going to give you the answer you want right away. She wants to see where else you can go. Just because you caught a whole bag of feelings doesn't mean that she's just going to drop everything and be like, all right, you're my boyfriend now. You got to be patient. But again, this is Ed, and that advice is valid for a normal person, not for a Ed who doesn't understand boundaries, who doesn't understand what people are literally spelling out to him to his face. Okay, so then the next scene happens, and in the next scene, Ed once again talks about how he'll find out now if this is going to be love or the friend zone. Shut up. Stop it, Ed. You are embarrassing yourself and you are wasting our time with your nonsense, with your BS. So then they get into the date and they're doing this like nice little date at this restaurant. And she tells us that she feels like Ed has this urge to fill a void. And the more and more he pushes to fill that void, the more and more she feels like she's being pushed out and not being allowed in, because she wants this to go in a slower pace and he's not letting that happen. So basically, Ed keeps doing this shenanigans over and over and over until the date ends and she walks away without giving him a hug. And Ed diagnoses, his diagnosis is that Kaori is afraid of love. No, sir. Kaori is just handling this like a normal person, and you're trying to get her to say, I love you, basically, after three dates. He really wants an answer before he leaves Mexico, and she's not willing to give him that, which, quite frankly, I think is very acceptable. Unlike the 90 day, before the 90 day, which we're talking about with Rob that you heard earlier, those relationships were communicated, and these people met each other for the first time under the expectation that they've been, quote, dating long distance for a while now, or that at least they've been romantically involved together for a while now. These two have just met. So to me, there's not enough groundwork for her to want to give you that answer. Yet Ed keeps yapping on about how, you know, she might be afraid of love and that he's getting friend zoned. He's being an idiot. But y'all already knew this. We know Ed's awful. We know that. So let's just move on. And go to someone else. Oh, by the way, yeah, the next time on, Ed talks about he planned this sunset cruise thing for like the last chance to see if there's sparks. And she might show up. She might not show up. We don't know. They didn't show us. I think she'll show up. It'll be fine. More Ed nonsense coming your way next week, sadly. So let us now move on to another person in this saga today. Let's talk about Stephanie. So Stephanie, we covered at the top of the show how she's been having some fart issues and all that nonsense, but that's not on the show. On the show here, she last was seen in bed with her high school sweetheart, Fred. And turns out, okay, they didn't end up sealing the deal. The quote, the celibacy was not taken. The celibacy is still there very much. And what we find out is they made out a little bit and she passed out, and she tells us in confessional personally that she felt like the time wasn't right and it wasn't right to do. And over a bowl of parfait while they're eating in the morning, she tells him that she didn't feel that there was a connection there and that maybe they're just friends. That's how she feels, is friends, because she thinks her celibacy, she wants to give away to someone who is going to be her soulmate, essentially. And Fred, respects to Fred, you know, purple shirt skull guy, says he respects it and he understands it. So great job from Fred. Stephanie continuing to string us on her journey, to end her celibacy or to not end her celibacy. That is the question. So we will see what happens there with her. And, yeah. All right. So then you got that information. Okay. Spoiler alert, next time on, no Stephanie. So it doesn't seem like we'll see Stephanie next week. We're going to move on and talk about someone who we haven't really seen in a minute. And that is Natalie. So here comes Natalie, y'all. Natalie is going on a date for the first time since Johnny. And she's actually going on a date with a man named Josh, who she met at the same modeling event that Johnny invited her to. A fun fact, Josh was the guy who organized the event, allegedly. So they're going on a golf date and, you know, he gives her a hug right out the gate. She's very much appreciating the hug. She says that he has nice big arms and she felt safe in him, in his arms. And she told us at the start that she wants to be more open because being single hasn't been easy and the dating life hasn't been as easy as she thought it would be. So she lets him, you know, teach her some golf stuff, some movement, some hand positions and all that. And then the producer asks her, why are you feeling so comfortable with Josh and not with Johnny? She replies that she feels a kindness from Josh that she didn't get from Johnny. So she's very much attracted to him and is interested in him. They make a little wager of, if you get this putt in before I do, then you buy me dinner, vice versa. They tie. So they say, okay, we'll just go to dinner tonight. And Natalie's going to ask him a bunch of questions at dinner. She has some plans as to what she wants to know about our friend Josh here. So then they go to this date And just a preface, she says that she wants to find out if he wants kids in a family because she will not get involved with someone who doesn't want kids in a family. So then they go to dinner, and the first question immediately she asks him is, are you married? He says, no. Are you married? She says, yes. And then Josh asks, well, what's taking so long? And then they started getting a little bit awkward, and she replied, it's complicated. He said, oh, like a jigsaw puzzle. And then she said, what's a jigsaw puzzle? And then we spent way too long on Josh trying to explain what he meant by the jigsaw puzzle comment. It is not worth our time. Basically, they move on from that. And then the next question she asks him is, have you been married? He says, yeah, about 13, 14 years ago. And I had a daughter. I had a kid with my ex-wife. And then I have another kid. I have a daughter with another woman. So I have two kids, two different women. And this is where the date completely derailed everybody. So you could tell Natalie shut down after that comment. And he asked her, well, is that unacceptable? She said, I don't know. He asked her if she wants kids. She looked away, and the date kind of soured from there on. She said she doesn't want to talk about children now. And she tells us in confessional, she didn't like the comment she got from Josh, because she felt like there must be something that is wrong with him if he has had two red flags, or he has had two kids from two marriages or two different women. That could be a red flag. So she tells us all this, and then she tells him to his face that she feels like she would have to compete with other women for him, and she's not trying to compete with other people, and that she chose simple guys for that reason. And then Josh basically asks point blank, do you think I could make you happy? And Natalie says, well, I don't know you well enough, so I don't know. The date is soured at this point. He drives her home. She says goodbye, good night. They hug. She leaves. She tells us she is terrified that this man could make her very sad, and she doesn't want to feel that way. So my takeaway from this is that I don't think Natalie liked that he already has children from a previous relationship, because I think she wants children and a family, and she doesn't want to divide him with other children and other people. That's kind of my takeaway of it based on the way she was trying to explain herself. Ultimately, I don't know. The next time on, she's not on it. So it's not like we're going to find out what happens with Josh. So we just have to move on from this, basically. Once again, the single life really not giving us enough content, or context rather, and keeping us on our toes. So let's just go and talk about the next person. And I'll say person, but it's two people. Let's talk about Jesse and Jennifer, who had literally the shortest episode of all time, where it was more of the argument about the miscommunication that happened. And Jesse insinuated or clapped back with, well, you have posts with this guy that you dated, so did he pay for you to go on a date? And she took it as him calling her a whore. And she tells us this. It was literally her words. And then when they met up again to talk about, because she had walked away. So when she comes back, it's very evident that Jesse is trying to use the whole Kakua thing against her, and essentially saying, hey, so I didn't have a problem with the Kakua thing. I chose to be positive. I chose to overlook it. So because I've done that, you should also choose to understand that it was a misunderstanding and not be upset about my comment, because I didn't mean it that way. And Jennifer's like, well, that's how I felt. So I'm sorry if I felt that way, but you said that. You said what you said, and I'm not okay with it. And I think Jesse just doesn't want to understand that, hey, just because I chose to put something aside doesn't mean that she has to choose to put something aside. If she doesn't want to, she doesn't want to. You have to apologize for what you said and not be so defensive. That's it. That's all we talked about. We didn't get anything else from Jesse and Jennifer. And spoiler alert, the next time on is more of that. It's more about him disrespecting her, and they're at the same resort they were at. So they're really making a meal out of this one meetup. It'll now end up going to three episodes. And we know that he's about to leave soon anyway. So I think that's kind of where we're going to end with them. And we'll find out, are they going to be together when he leaves or nah? So that's where we're going to be. Okay. And then one other thing for a person that was not on this episode, Sinjin, not on this episode. The next time on showed him being on that date that he got that date last week. We're going to see that date next week. He's a nervous wreck, and it looks to be a little awkward, but we'll get there when we get there. Let's talk about the final person on this episode, the person we're rooting for the most here, folks, and that is one Debbie. Now, Debbie is on her way. She's got her bags packed. She's going on a little adventure, our Debbie. She's going to San Diego to go on this blind date with someone she met online. And she has her friend with her, the same friend that they shared breakfast with, where she was background checking Jay, who ended up being married. So she has that friend with her, and Colt is driving them. Now, Colt, first of all, has the worst beard of all time. I have never felt negatively about someone's facial hair. Y'all know me. I rep facial hair, and I generally like most facial hair. Colt's facial hair, not it. He should not have facial hair. It looks a little awkward for me. But that's besides the point. So Colt tells us that he feels like a bit of a father figure here because he's trying to vet this date from Debbie and asking her all these questions. And he's feeling a little skeptical that she hasn't met the guy and that she's getting catfished, essentially. And then the combined with Colt and Debbie's friend, they're asking her all these questions. Like, have you FaceTimed him? Have you background checked him? They're full on pushing her. And this is a long drive. Okay. This is a long drive. She's clearly getting fed up with them talking about all this. So 4 hours go by into the drive. They give us a 4 hours later and things are getting testy in this vehicle. Debbie is essentially telling Colt to, you know, drive a certain way. Colt is not listening, says, I don't need your feedback, so I'm not going to take it. If you want to drive, you should have driven. Why am I here? And then Debbie offers, well, I should have just, you know, I can just buy your plane ticket and send you home, and I'll just take the car if you're going to be like this. Things get a little bit more heated. Debbie says, stop the car, I'm getting off. And Colt says, absolutely not. We're on the freeway. That's not happening. And Debbie essentially takes her seatbelt off, has a full-on anger fest until they stop and she walks out of the car and her friend goes after her. Her friend calms her down, says, listen, like, if you don't talk, he won't talk. It'll be fine. They get to the hotel and she's going to sleep, basically. Her and her friend are sharing a room, and I'm assuming Colt has his own room, and she texts this guy, Bill, and there's no response. So we don't know what's going to happen. The next time on shows us a reply she gets from him where he essentially says, yeah, we were just at the restaurant. And she's thinking, well, who's we? What's going on with that? What is, am I getting stood up? Is this a thing? It's a whole mess, y'all. It's a whole mess. Bless your heart, Debbie. I feel like you should have maybe FaceTimed him. And I know you don't want to be told what to do. And I don't want you to leave the car again, but maybe you should have FaceTimed him at the very least once so that y'all can speak and you can have proof that is a real person. Now, it could be a real person. No idea. But we're just going to have to wait and see now. So that'll be next week's plan. And that brings us to the end of this week. And I thank you so much if you stuck around for this 15-minute catch-up on the Single Life episode 9. We'll be back with episode 10 next week. And we'll be back with episode 6 of Before the 90 Day with Rob once again. I just wanted to say thank you so much for making it all the way here. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3-4 times a week. And I'll be chilling. So if you want to come say hi, feel free to do so. Always lovely to have you. And please, if you've not left a rating or review for this podcast, go ahead and do so over on robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, number 0, day fiance. Any reviews help. They allow people to find our show. They allow me to get feedback and they give me much joy. So please give me joy. Thank you. Also, I believe now you can leave rating and reviews on Spotify. So if you got Spotify and that's where you're hearing me, check it out. See if you can do it there. We'll appreciate that. All right. We're at the end. We've arrived at our destination on the Hot Mess Express. It is now time to leave the platform. But fear not. We'll be back next week with more 90 Day Fiancé Mess. I've been your host and conductor, Puyaism Vakili. Goodbye for now. Take care. See ya.